The first of anything is something of a challenge, but of course I'm pleased to be here, privileged to be here, and looking forward to making a first active contribution as a member of the House of Lords.
Now, you're going to be talking about higher education in your speech today. What's your interest in that?
Well, I'm talking about higher education and specifically referring both to my own experience and the importance of the higher education sector and in the Diocese of Portsmouth, of course. I've spent a lot of years, one way or another, involved in higher education. A student in three universities, I think. I had a spell as an economics lecturer in a couple, as a chaplain, and then I've served on the governors of two more modern universities, chairing the finance committee in Hertfordshire, and getting to know at first hand what an important motor and driver a university can be in a region and locality. Turnover at that university at the time was something like £220 million. So it's a really significant player economically. But of course, in so many other ways, morally, culturally, it plays an important part in the region. And now in Portsmouth, I'm involved with another university and seeing the important role it has in the city, the area and beyond, not least at a time when Portsmouth is having to rethink some of its employment following the closure of shipbuilding in the dockyard, which has been much publicised recently.
It may be good for the area, and it certainly is good for the economy, as you've said, but how do you feel, or do you have any concern about students who are coming out with huge amounts of debt now?
Oh, clearly, many students, perhaps most students, it's a bit hard to be absolutely categoric, are feeling a vulnerability. I've spoken about my vulnerability about making a first speech in the House of Lords. Students come often to a new place, are living away from home, often for the first time. So there's a vulnerability as they embark on something new, and at the same time, there's the vulnerability about being in debt, and that debt can grow quite substantially. So there are lots of challenges facing people who come to study at universities. They're often, but not all young, and I think it's a time of real challenge as well as of opportunity for them.
How do you think we square that with certainly the church's position at the moment in terms of people taking on more debt and us being worried about that? Because that's an interesting dichotomy, isn't it?
It's a real dichotomy. Clearly, many graduates will have the opportunity to move into well-paid jobs and may be able to clear even quite a substantial debt. But it's potentially the case, and we don't know yet because we're part of a new funding system for higher education. We don't know yet what the implications will be, but certainly the Christian Church needs to continue to have a real concern and offer support to those who find themselves in debt and in difficulty financially, whatever their background, whatever their circumstances, however that debt has arisen.
Now, we're sitting in the robing room in the House of Lords, which is quite imposing, I think.
It is.
When you first were called to the priesthood, could you have ever imagined you'd be here today?
I couldn't and wouldn't have imagined it. I've been ordained 34 years. I offered myself in the service of the gospel and the church because I thought I was being called to be a parish priest, never dreaming, imagining that I'd be called to be a bishop, still less to find myself in the House of Lords. So it's with real astonishment that I find myself here. I pinch myself, actually, and think, can this really be happening? Would my mom and dad have really imagined that this could be?
What do you think you'll be able to bring to the Lords?
It sounds a little pompous to speculate about that. I know what I hope I might be able to contribute, and that is, of course, to speak as best I can for the communities and people of South East Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, whom I serve as bishop. That's an extraordinarily mixed area. The Isle of Wight is actually one of the poorest rural areas of the country, with pockets that are different. Portsmouth is, after London, the second most densely populated city in the country, with both the opportunities and vibrancy of a city, but also with the challenges too. And then a little further north into the Meon Valley, there's commuter country too, with people coming to and from London. So there are a range of issues and challenges, and I shall hope to have those very firmly in mind as I contribute to the life and work of the House here. I also hope that I might be able to contribute a little from my own background and my own interests. As a former economist, then I retain an interest in issues to do with the economy and with benefits and welfare. And of course, in Portsmouth, there's the Navy. And that remains very important there. So that's a flavour, but I hope, as all priests hope, to remain responsive and to serve rather than to come with an absolutely fixed agenda about what I intend.
In what way do you think you'll be able to take what you're doing here back to your diocese?
That's a more difficult question because I'm brand new and don't know. There's always a sense for a Christian and for a Christian priest especially of being a mediator, of standing between and interpreting God and Jesus Christ and the Christian faith to men, women and children, and to carry the needs of men, women and children in prayer and in other ways to God. And there's something similar perhaps about this role of standing between those who are charged with the awesome responsibility of government, of legislation, and taking some of their seriousness about these issues back to people who perhaps aren't always aware of the seriousness with which people take the important issues that face the nation.
Is it right that bishops get involved in politics?
Not in party politics, but I think Christians are involved in life, in the world. I was interviewed for a radio station at the weekend. No, it was on Monday, actually. And they were collecting from all of their contributors that day a word that self-described. And I offered two. The first didn't take them by surprise when I said I would describe myself as a Christian. And when I said second, I'd describe myself as a human being, there was a pause at the other, down the other end of the line. And I think Christians are called to be human in the fullest sense, to involve themselves in the range of what human beings do. And that includes politics.